The state of Michigan is close to wrapping up plans to make itself more accessible to people with disabilities. The goal is to get state offices, communications, buildings, websites to be compliant with the ADA, the Americans with Disabilities Act. We wanted to get a better idea of what that really looks like and how much progress has been made. Joining us is Laura Hall, who's an assistive technology coordinator for the Michigan Disability Rights Coalition. And she's joined by Sharon Ellis, who is the state ADA compliance director. Sharon, I'd like to start with you. Your position was actually created by Governor Snyder last year. What's your mission and what kind of resources have you been given?
My mission is to, first of all, make sure that everything within the state that not, well, I want to say that the state of Michigan does, is compliant with the state and federal Americans with Disabilities Act. That includes our buildings, our facilities, our programs, our parks, our websites, virtually everything that the state of Michigan does and handles is accessible to our customers and our employees with disabilities.
And I guess kind of going back, really predating when Governor Snyder, well, long before Governor Snyder became our governor and you came into the office, the question kind of has to be raised with the ADA having been passed in 1990. What's your understanding of why all these years later there are still areas where the state wasn't compliant?
Well, there have been updates to the act, and there have been updates to the act, and there are all sorts of reasons why buildings might not be compliant. There are historic exceptions, and there are all sorts of, I never want to use the term grandfathered because there are no relatives in the ADA, but there are many reasons why buildings might not have to be up to compliance, because a building might have been built so long ago that it doesn't have to meet the standards. But if you do any remodeling in the building, then the building must be brought up to compliance, whatever the most recent version of the act is.
And it certainly seems like it is a real, real tall order to monitor.
Yeah.
Laura, from the point of view of the Michigan Disability Rights Coalition, what do you see as major areas of concern with state of Michigan programs and websites and all of that not being compliant?
Well, I think when you're looking at the perspective from people with disabilities, people with disabilities want to be involved in their communities and their governments just as any other person would want to be involved in their community and governments. So people with disabilities want to have access to employment within the state of Michigan. They want to be able to have voting access and have impact on legislative measures that are taken, have their voices heard in the legislators about legislation that's going to impact them, access to parks and recreation and all things, just as other people would want that access as well.
I know, Sharon, the state brought in an outside firm recently for an audit. What did they find?
We did an audit of our DTMB, and I should express what that is. That is our Department of Technology Management and Budget. That is our administrative department, which oversees many of the things in state government, but particularly our buildings and our facilities. And the buildings that that department manages is just about 40 buildings. What they found, and I can't go into, you know, every single detail.
Oh, sure.
But they did certainly find that some of our buildings had some issues with compliance. And so we are in the process right now of reviewing all of that information. And we are then going to prioritize everything that we found and within every building. And then we are going to go about starting to fix everything.
So give me an idea.
It's going to take a while, as you might imagine.
Sure. Well, and as you say, there were issues. Give me an idea of what issues exist.
Well, for instance, there might be a restroom that is not compliant. Now, all of our buildings do have accessible restrooms, but we found that in some buildings, the stalls, they may be several inches out of compliance. But that means we're out of compliance.
Okay.
So that's not going to be the highest priority, as you might imagine. However, when we find that there is an entrance to a building that is not accessible, that is an extremely high priority, because our priority is first get people in the building. That is the most important thing. We must have accessible entrances. People must be able to get into the building, and then we go down from there. But I want to emphasize that when something made the list, it may have made the list because a door jamb was a half an inch off, but that is how detailed we got.
And what about websites? Because this has to be a very, very important avenue
Indeed.
For handicapped and disabled
now,
people.
That was not part of the audit.
Okay.
Because the audit just limited itself to our buildings and, by the way, signage. We are also working on signage both in and out of our buildings. So we are working on exterior signage and wayfinding issues as well as interior signage. We want all of our signage to be consistent in terms of size and coloring and braille, because some of our signage does not include braille at this point. So that's a very high priority as well. But back to the website question. We have so many websites that it's hard to keep track of the number.
Under the Michigan.gov, yeah.
well, not just under Michigan.gov. We have a number of other kinds of websites that some are accessible and at this point some are not. Back in the summer, I'm sorry to say that our Michigan.gov websites were at about 33% accessible.
So you set the tech teams at it, and where do you stand now?
We are near 100%, and that was just over 4 months.
Laura Hall, what does that mean, the idea of having these websites accessible, Laura Hall? What needs to be there for folks to be able to use them?
Well, in terms of what it means that people have access to information on websites, to getting the resources that they need in Michigan, filling out applications for assistance, all sorts of things, being able to access their local polling sites, what they need through the Secretary of State, all of those type of things. So in terms of what the websites need in terms of accessibility, there's definitely the standards that Sharon talked about definitely provide some guidance in terms of how to structure those websites so that they're accessible to people who have low vision, who use screen readers and things like that, just in terms of font size, of contrast, of being able to adjust the font size, how things are labeled on the website so that they're accessible to screen readers. And one question that I had for you, Sharon, is as you're going through this process with the information technology, I know there are some ways to evaluate web accessibility, and I'm sure that you've gone through those sites. Have you also conducted some usability studies with people with disabilities to see exactly how they're working for them and whether they're able to access them in the way that you intend them to?
Yes, Laura. We do have a very close working relationship with the Bureau of Services for Blind Persons. One of the things that we've been doing in that regard is we're almost done creating an accessible online menu that our vendors, we have vendors in all the buildings that have either cafeterias or little vendor stands, and we are creating a website where they can put up their menus every day so that their customers can access to see what they're serving every day or if they're offering specials or anything. And we expect that site to launch next month. There's never been anything like that before. So we're very excited about that, as is the Bureau and the vendors. We do have something that we use called look and feel standards.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a list, a checklist of things that every website must pass before it can launch.
I'm interested of the thoughts from both of you. Sharon Ellis is the state ADA compliance director, and Laura with the Michigan Disability Rights Coalition. Is meeting the Americans with Disabilities Act standards enough, or are there aspects of living with a disability that are not addressed by the ADA? Laura, I'll let you take that first.
Sure. Well, I am a person with a disability myself, and I use a wheelchair. So I have some firsthand experience with accessibility issues and inclusion issues. And as much as I would like to say that we could have a legislation that would take care of all the access issues and all the inclusion issues for people with disabilities, really, I just don't think that we can say that the ADA can take care of all of those issues, no matter how good of legislation we have. It's never going to remove all barriers for people with disabilities, because so many of the barriers have to do with just societal attitudes for disability, in terms of employment. I know that people with disabilities still have an unemployment rate of over 70%, and there certainly have been efforts to create better access to employment for people with disabilities, but until, you know, we can work with employers and have them understand that, people with disabilities have the same talents and skills as people without disabilities, and help them understand how to provide low-cost accommodations. Most people don't understand or aren't aware, but most accommodations in the workplace cost under $50 to make those accommodations for people with disabilities. So, until we can kind of break through some of those attitudinal barriers and societal barriers, the ADA really isn't going to cover some of those things that are more institutional based.
Sharon, your thoughts.
I agree with Laura that I just can't imagine any legislation that could ever be written that could take care of breaking down all the barriers. That's why there needs to be so much more done, and that's why, for instance, I'm glad Laura brought up the issue of employment, because, for instance, Governor Snyder has really made ADA compliance and the ADA itself a priority. Last month, he held his second annual Governor's Disability Summit, which is focused on assisting Michigan businesses in hiring people with disabilities. There were keynote speakers, and one of the things that they addressed is just exactly what Laura was talking about. It really doesn't cost much at all in terms of equipment, in terms of training, in terms of anything to hire people with disabilities. It's just a matter, again, of raising awareness. And once that awareness is raised, people are thrilled with the people with disabilities that they've hired. They find that they are exemplary employees and can't wait to hire more, actually. So it really is not just ever a reliance on legislation.
Mm-hmm.
It's really a team effort from legislators themselves to government officials like Governor Snyder. It really is just getting out there and spreading the word.
That was Sharon Ellis, the state ADA compliance director, and she was joined by Laura Hall, an assistive technology coordinator for the Michigan Disability Rights Coalition. Thanks to both of you for speaking with us on Stateside.
Thank you.
My pleasure. Thanks, Cindy, so much.